Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
For thousands of years, thousands of voices have been singing one name. It started with 12 who were crazy enough to leave everything. Yeah. Misfits and doubters, outcasts and cowards, kinda like you and me, have one thing in common, the one we follow, he's still the reigning king. Sing it with me now.
Jesus, people all around the world, stand up, let it be known, let it be known. Jesus, people, if you're changed by his love, let it be known, let it be known. Let's start living like we've been set free. There's a broken world that needs to see. Jesus, people all around the world, stand up, let it be known, let it be known.
So many have tried.
Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. That is from the gospel reading for today, this April 25th, 2024, from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. And this is a feast of St. Mark the Evangelist. Good morning. Hope you're having a great day so far. And we are a Jesus people. Yay, Jesus. Amen. Underlined exclamation point. Good to be with you on a Thursday. Hope you're doing well. So much to discuss. Right after we check the weather, national, local, and also the national and local news, we will be talking about how we could be more Jesus, more like Jesus, and more of a Jesus people by witnessing. And what does that look like for each of us? Well, depends on what God's will is for your life, but we are all called to evangelize. The church exists to evangelize. And we'll have a little background about St. Mark the Evangelist, and then also a little bit more about my suggestions on how to evangelize. And that's going to look different for everyone, right? We're asked to do things differently based on our gifts and our talents and our stages in life. And for some of us, it means, well, doing what we do here at Ave Maria Radio, being on the air every day and talking about it. For others, it means just living out the faith very deeply in the domestic church. But we're all called in some ways, whether big or small, to be out there and to proclaim Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the only way to heaven, the only name. So we shall discuss in 2 cents. Right now, 30 degrees under clear skies in the Motor City and much of southeastern Michigan. The rest of the program, looking forward to talking about a beautiful school, speaking of Jesus people. And this school actually is in the Detroit area, and it is one that offers a beautiful Catholic classical education. And they're looking to raise some more awareness and also raise some funds and increase enrollment. So we're going to be talking with their current principal at St. John Paul II Classic Catholic School, and that Classical Catholic School, excuse me, and that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. And thanks to my friend Allison Accardo, who actually attended St. Joan of Arc for many years, for the idea. She teaches there. She's a wonderful, wonderful Catholic sister in the Lord, very fired up about the faith, always has been. Father Mitch Pacwa, on a Thursday, we're going to talk about what's coming out of these very anti-Semitic protests across the country and how do we respond as Catholics. We picked up the conversation last week when these different protests were just beginning, and now it's been, I guess you could say, probably maybe 2 weeks now they've been in effect, but they just keep growing and popping up, and they're not organic, okay? They're just not. They are very organized. There's agitators. There's groups behind it. But how do we respond, and why are so many of these young people so easily drawn into this? And why do they parrot so much of what they see, for example, on TikTok and a lot of these hate videos that are out there? So we'll talk with Father Mitch Pacwa, then wrap up with a very good discussion, a very timely discussion with Dr. Grazie Pozzo Christi. She's a senior fellow with the Catholic Association. Now, you may be aware that in the state of Florida, they recently ruled to allow for a 6-week protection for the unborn in the state, while also allowing for a dangerous abortion amendment to be placed on the ballot this upcoming November. So Dr. Pozzo Christi is going to be looking at that and also sharing her own thoughts, because she's a resident of Florida, a radiologist and a mom and a pro-life activist, of course, a pro-life leader, and obviously very concerned about the rulings as they prepare for the November election with this thing on the ballot, which is pretty frightening. And then if we have time, maybe we'll get her take on what happened at the Supreme Court yesterday. We discussed it on Tuesday with Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus Foundation. all about the Supreme Court taking up the Idaho ruling, and the Biden administration is pushing back and trying to find a back door, regardless of the ban in Idaho for emergency, so-called emergency abortion. So much to discuss today in a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, April 25th, again, the Feast of St. John the Evangelist. As far as the forecast, as I mentioned, clear skies right now, 30 degrees, but let's take a look at the 10-day forecast, or almost 10 days. 54 and sunny today for our high in Michigan for most of the state. Tomorrow, warmer, 62 and partly cloudy. Looks like we have warmer temps yet over the weekend. The problem is we also have rain moving in. Saturday, morning showers and then mostly cloudy. A high of 74. On Sunday, a high of 68 with showers. Very warm on Monday, but more rain, 72. Now back down a little bit on Tuesday, 64 and partly cloudy. 68 on Wednesday, May 1st, very nice, partly cloudy. And then cooler for a day or two. Thursday, 60 and partly cloudy. 61 on Friday and sunny. On Saturday, warming up for the first weekend of May. 66 next Saturday, partly cloudy skies. And looking very nice on Sunday, May 5th. Can't believe it's going to be May already. Mostly cloudy, but could see the sun a little bit and a high of 67 degrees. So not too bad. That's our weather forecast for southeastern Michigan and much of the state for the next week or so. Across the country, we still have an active pattern for the center of the nation with severe thunderstorms, excessive rainfall, critical fire. All are in the outlook today and will last into the last weekend of April, actually. Very large hail, severe wind gusts, and a few strong tornadoes will be possible, according to the National Weather Service, across the central and southern plains, and then flash flooding also possible for portions of the plains and the Mississippi Valley. Then we have that critical fire weather conditions for southern high plains as well. So whether you live in Michigan on a Thursday or across the country listening online or on your app, that's the forecast for the Great Lakes State. And many of you who are listening outside of Michigan, we're glad you're with us. Wherever you are, it is a Thursday morning, 30 degrees in southeastern Michigan right now, April 25th, the Feast of St. John the Evangelist. Let's take a look at the news on a Thursday. Brian Shook tells us the abortion issue front and center yesterday.
First, the U.S. Supreme Court heard an abortion case for the first time since it overturned Roe v. Wade. The case is over whether Idaho's near-total abortion ban conflicts with a federal law requiring hospitals to provide patients emergency care. A decision is expected in June. Later in the day, Arizona's House of Representatives voted to repeal a Civil War-era abortion law that bans nearly all abortions, and the bill now heads to the state Senate.
Meanwhile, Arizona Republicans have a narrow majority in the Arizona House, but the measure was able to pass as three Republicans joined the Democrats against the pro-life measure. Now, as Catholic News Agency tells us, a repeal bill will now be considered by the Arizona Senate, where Republicans again hold a narrow 16-14 majority. The Democratic Governor, Katie Hobbs, has already signaled she will sign the measure into law if it is passed by the Arizona Senate. Even if the repeal bill is signed into law, CNA explains, it will likely not go into effect until 90 days after the legislative session closes, meaning the pro-life law may be in effect for a short time. The pro-life measure is currently set to go into effect on June 8th, and this after Democrats launched several unsuccessful attempts to repeal the pro-life law after a controversial Arizona Supreme Court decision ruled the law, passed in 1864, could go into effect. Joe Biden sparking outrage earlier this week when he made the sign of the cross while rallying against abortion restrictions. This occurred in Tampa while Florida Democratic Party Chair Nikki Freed complained about the governor, Ron DeSantis, and the state's tightening six-week ban on abortion. Brian Birch, president of Catholic Vote, meanwhile, telling Fox News Digital yesterday, Biden's use of the sign of the cross in support of abortion is a disgusting insult, he said, toward all Christians, but especially of Catholics, whom he claims as his own. The sign of the cross, of course, is an ancient expression of piety that existed since at least the 3rd century and is commonly used by Catholic and Orthodox churches as a form of a blessing. Birch added, the sign of the cross is a sacred gesture used by believers to bless themselves, ask for forgiveness, or to protect them from temptation. Instead, he added, Biden has turned this ancient Christian practice into an endorsement for abortion extremism. House Speaker Mike Johnson is at Columbia University demanding its president resign unless she reins in anti-Semitic protests there.
We just can't allow this kind of hatred and anti-Semitism to flourish on our campuses, and it must be stopped in its tracks. Those who are perpetrating this violence should be arrested.
Speaking on the campus steps in the New York school with other GOP lawmakers, Johnson said no Jewish student should have to live in fear. He also said he's going to speak with President Biden about the situation, raising the possibility of calling in the National Guard. His comments come this week as pro-Palestinian protests continue against Israel's war with Hamas. Hundreds of students have been protesting, sometimes violently, against the current administration's response to the Israel-Hamas war, calling for an end to support for Israel. The number of arrests meanwhile on the campus of UT Austin growing. Police there cracking down on the protesters. A crowd, which does remain in the hundreds, has been pushed to the corner of the campus and at one point even shut down. They want the school to divest from manufacturers supplying Israel weapons. Nearly two dozen people have been handcuffed and led away. Texas state troopers have also been called in to assist the campus police. Maryland Attorney General Anthony Brown vowing to hold all responsible parties accountable for the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. He toured the wreckage of the collapse site this week, saying his office will hold those responsible for the disaster.
This is all part of the state, the Aussie Attorney General, doing our part, which is going to be to protect the interests of the state of Maryland, and which will involve legal actions, claims made against a number of parties.
In a video released by the AG's office, Brown saying the tour is part of the effort to protect the interests of the state of Maryland, which will involve legal action against responsible and liable parties. Six construction workers died more than 4 weeks ago when the container ship Dolly struck the bridge, causing it to collapse into the Patapsco River. Meanwhile, the U.S. Coast Guard says a 35-foot-deep Fort McHenry limited access channel will open this morning and remain open until Monday or Tuesday of next week, depending on the weather. The four-day opening will allow larger ships to leave the Port of Baltimore for the first time since the March 26 collapse of the Key Bridge. U.S. Coast Guard Captain David O'Connell says there will also be ships entering the port.
I know we have a container barge which is scheduled to come in. We have another small bulker coming in, and then another aluminum ship would be scheduled to come in that time frame as well.
O'Connell says five of the seven ships at the port will be leaving, including a loaded car carrier. Three other temporary channels will remain available, and commercial vessels should use those so they don't impede the ships and have to use the deeper channel. After the channel closes next week, it will not be available again until sometime next month. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers expecting to open the port's permanent 700-foot-wide, 50-foot-deep channel by the end of May. Governor DeSantis has signed two bills related to hurricane protection. One measure signed by DeSantis adds $200 million to the My Safe Florida Home program to harden houses against hurricanes.
The bill prioritizes seniors through the application process because we understand many are on fixed incomes and very well may have older homes.
Another bill adding $30 million to create a pilot hurricane safety program for condominiums. DeSantis also supporting adding $50 million in state money for beach renourishment. He signed both measures in Reddington Shores in Pinellas County. Michael Kastner tells us there's a nationwide health alert that's been issued for certain ground beef products that have a potential risk for E. coli.
USDA says 5 and 10-pound beef patties and chubs from Greater Omaha with a freeze-by date of April 22nd may have a strain of E. coli that is known to cause severe intestinal infections in humans. No one, as of yet, is reported being sick by the products, which were shipped to restaurants and retailers across the U.S. The labels for the affected products can be found on the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection website.
TikTok says it will take legal action to try to block new U.S. legislation that could lead to it being banned. Joe Biden signing a bill into law yesterday that said that laid the groundwork for the social media platform being banned if its Chinese parent company does not sell it.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again.
In a video posted on the platform, the TikTok CEO said the passage of the bill is obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. The company has won legal challenges in the past, including blocking a Montana law that called for a statewide ban. In 2020, a federal judge ruled an attempt by then-President Trump to ban TikTok was also unconstitutional. One Broward County School Board member is pushing to ban cell phones from first to last bell. Dr. Alan Zeman says they now have more than enough evidence proving cell phones threaten mental health.
We've gone from a world in which cell phones were kind of thought to contribute to mental health issues to something now that the evidence is clear that it causes mental health problems.
Students in Orange County, Florida, are banned from using cells during the entire school day, including lunch. Pinellas County is considering outlining when students can and cannot use them. Hillsborough County, Florida, has a "we see it, we take it" rule. And finally, in our news segment, let's take a look at what's happening with a Beatles guitar that was missing for over 50 years. Well, it's now been discovered in the attic of a British house. Julian's Auction says the 12-string acoustic guitar is the same one John Lennon played on classics such as Norwegian Wood, and he could be seen playing the same guitar in the movie Help. Julian's says in a press release the guitar disappeared in the late 1960s and was recently discovered in an attic in the rural British countryside. It will all be going up for auction next month in the Big Apple in New York City. It's expected, get this, to fetch nearly $1 million, is saying probably well over $800,000, and could set a new record for the highest-selling Beatles guitar. More Catholic Connection coming your way on this, the feast day of St. Mark the Evangelist. Stay tuned.
Spring in the mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Weingarts. We've been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment since 1945. Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractors are engineered to offer the best combination of quality, value, and performance. Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractors offer comfort and year-round versatility. Stop by our stores to help find your next Cub Cadet or visit us online at Weingarts.com. From our family to yours, thank you for letting us serve you.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Building a life rooted in faith and family is a journey. A journey where Alliance Catholic Credit Union walks beside you. For over 70 years, we've been your neighbors, sharing your values and supporting your dreams with competitive rates. Right now through May 31st, unlock your dream home with a minimum 3% down payment on a new home purchase. And we will waive your PMI. Get started today at AllianceCatholic.com or call 877-950-2228.
Federally insured by NCUA. NMLS number 401254. Equal housing lender.
For thousands of years, thousands of voices have been singing one name. It started with 12 who were crazy enough to leave everything. Yeah. Misfits and doubters, outcasts and cowards, kinda like you and me, have one thing in common, the one we follow. He's still the reigning king. Sing it with me now.
Jesus, people all around the world stand up. Let it be known, Jesus, people, if you're changed by His love. Let it be known, let's start living like we've been set free. There's a broken world that needs to see. Jesus, people all around the world stand up. Let it be known, let it be known.
So many have tried to put out the fire, but it's our faith. We pray to be bold and unstoppable, to live unashamed. Yeah. With billions of hearts, lights in the dark, we're never fading out. If the nails in His hands cannot stop Him,
We are all called to evangelize. Nobody gets a break from this. Now, we all do it differently, depending on what God asks us to do, but we are all called to preach the gospel north, south, east, and west. A great commission in the gospel today from the Gospel of St. Mark. It is April 25th, the Feast of St. John the Evangelist. So if you sign up for the EW10 emails, there's a great summary that they put out today on this feast day. And so let's talk a little bit first about St. Mark. What is the significance of celebrating the liturgical feast of St. Mark? The Church celebrates the feast day of St. Mark, Apostle and Evangelist, on April 25th. He was one of the four writers of the Gospels who provides us with a clear account of the life and teaching of Jesus. We know St. Mark, therefore, mostly through his authorship of the second Gospel, the Gospel according to St. Mark. From elsewhere in Scripture, he is also known to have accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their journeys. And from tradition, he is known to have been the secretary of St. Peter and the founder of the church in Alexandria, Egypt. And he is eventually martyred in Egypt as well. What are the other names for St. Mark, you ask? Well, St. Mark is known by three names in Scripture, the best known being a Greek name, Mark, used among the Gentiles, Acts 15:39, also called by his Jewish birth name, John, Acts 13:5-13, and by both John Mark, Acts 12:12 and 15:37. As with saints generally, St. Mark's feast day is on the day of his death. On April 25th, 68 AD, he was dragged through the streets of Alexandria for his faith in Christ, leaving both blood and flesh on the pavement stone. During the entire time, he never ceased praising God and thanking him for those sufferings. So what a reminder for all of us, right, to keep preaching the truth in love. Out of the four Gospels, what does the Gospel of Mark primarily highlight? In a general way, the Gospel of Mark can be seen as a detailed development of St. Peter's discourses in Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2:22-26, Acts 3:12-26, Acts 10:36-43. And so it's like a living mirror of St. Peter's preaching and his ministry. Although the term evangelist can apply generically to anyone who preaches a gospel, it is generally only formally used to the four gospel writers whose writings were accepted by the church as inspired by God and therefore a part of divine revelation. In addition to St. Mark, of course, they are St. Matthew, St. Luke, and St. John. And as EWTN News explains, while Mark's gospel is the shortest, it remains a lasting treasure for all those who seek Jesus. He wrote his gospel to proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God who suffered and died to save us from sin and death. When we read Mark's gospel, we learn that to be a follower of Jesus, we too must be willing to make sacrifices to let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Of what is St. Mark the patron saint? Well, in addition to being the founder and patron of the Coptic Church, I love this stuff, and Egypt itself, St. Mark is the patron saint of Venezia, the city of Venice, Italy. What is the growing story behind the parable of the growing seed? The parable of the growing seed, Mark 4:26-29, explains the supernatural growth of the kingdom until its fulfillment at the end of history, with the natural growth of a seed into the fully flowered plant. The seed grows into the plant under God's care, according to the nature God has given it, and similarly, the kingdom of Christ, present in the seed in the church he founded, grows in accordance with its supernatural nature by virtue of the divine will and not the will of man. Christians must spread the seed, but exercising patience and trust regarding the growth of the kingdom, which I think is a really important point. We must spread the seed, right, going into all the world, preaching the gospel, but exercising patience and trust regarding the growth of the kingdom. In other words, the results are not up to us. The results are up to him. We are his hands and feet, his little farmers, his little planters, his little gardeners. But then the growth, we water the best we can, but we don't know how it's going to turn out. That is up to God. Mark follows this with the parable of the mustard seed, Mark 4:30-32, which teaches a similar but different lesson about the kingdom, that it will grow until it fills the whole world. Now, Mark was not an apostle, and this is an important point. Dominic and I were talking about this morning. We were doing the readings. Mark was not an apostle in the specific sense, as of one in the 12, chosen by Christ as a principal witness of his death and resurrection, and thereby the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20. However, he was a disciple who followed Jesus during his life, and who during the age of the apostles sought to spread knowledge and belief in Jesus. And while Mark wrote his gospel in Rome, it has always been the common opinion that he did so in Greek, not in Latin. Greek was understood everywhere. It was a language of the Septuagint, the translation of the Hebrew scriptures used by Greek-speaking Jews. It would be the language of the apostolic writings, which would form the New Testament, with the exception of Matthew's gospel, likely written in Hebrew or Aramaic for the Jewish people and only later translated into Greek. According to St. Jerome, and if we know St. Jerome, he said what? Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So according to St. Jerome, Mark the disciple and interpreter of Peter wrote a short gospel at the request of the brethren at Rome, embodying what he had heard Peter tell. When Peter had heard this, he approved it and published it to the churches to be read by his authority, as Clemens in the sixth book, right? Now, there's also other records of Peter also mentioning this Mark gospel in the first epistle, figuratively indicating Rome under the name of Babylon. So there are some other writings, of course, who talk about Mark's contributions. Mark 9:23, one of my favorite verses, all things are possible to him who believes. So what are we going to do with the gospel for today, where we are told in Scripture by Jesus through St. Mark in his gospel to go and preach the good news all over the world? As I said at the top of the hour and at the top of this segment, 2 cents, that could be very different for each one of us. But it doesn't mean that because we are not, quote unquote, in ministry, so to speak, that we don't teach, let's say, catechism, or that we're not involved in a particular Bible study or run a particular Bible study, or we're not studying at the seminary, taking classes. Just because we're not in ministry, that we have another profession, does not mean that we are not called to evangelize. As a matter of fact, I had Deacon Mike Houghton from the Archdiocese of Detroit and Unleash the Gospel at Work, if you remember, with us, I believe, Tuesday, and he was talking about yet another effort that they have, a beautiful conference coming up on May 11th, all about what? Unleashing the gospel at work. And that workplace, in most cases, is not going to be something related to the church. It could be, and it could also be that even if you're working inside the church, you're running into people that may have struggles or be challenging the church on the inside as well as the outside. But for most of us, I think it is an opportunity day to day to witness with our lives, to witness with our actions, but to not be afraid to talk about God or even tell someone, if they're having a hard time, would you like me to pray for you? Or if you're in a restaurant, and Tom Hornacek is such a great witness of this, he talks about this all the time, especially during the pledge drives. Whenever he's in a restaurant and the waitress comes over and they're about to say grace, he'll say, we're about to say grace and pray over our meal. Can we say a prayer for you? And he says very rarely has he ever had a waitress or a waiter say no or walk away offended in any way. As a matter of fact, it's usually just the opposite. And oftentimes when you're praying in public, even if it's a very subtle gesture, maybe you're saying grace or you're praying together with someone, it has such a positive impact. I've shared the story that was very recent when Deacon Dom was dropping me off at Metro Airport as I was going to a speaking event. And he always prays over me. When I get out of the car, he helps me bring my luggage over to the skycap. And then as they're waiting in line, he just says a little prayer, nothing major, but just puts his hand on my shoulders and says a prayer and gives me a blessing. The last time that happened was, it was it in March or February? I can't remember. And as Dom got back into this car, this very nice man comes running up to me and he says, you and your husband were praying, weren't you? I said, yes, we were. So we're Catholic and we pray together as a couple. And he said, I'm Catholic too. He said, that was amazing. I told, he was a driver and he had just dropped a client off. I told my client, look at that, they're praying together. Isn't that beautiful? And he said, you made my day. You may have heard me tell this story a few times recently, but it was significant to us because it's not a huge gesture. It's not like Dom steps out and gets holy water and, you know, wears vested, you know, and has a cross or anything. It's just, it says a little prayer over me and go on our merry way. But a simple gesture like that can be such a witness for people and an encouragement, because this man who came up to me was a fellow Catholic brother in the Lord. But it meant a lot to him to see other people not afraid to express their faith, even in a subtle way. So whether you're just praying with someone, saying grace before meals, being kind to someone, inviting them to Mass, and if God calls you to do it, maybe actually defending someone or the faith itself in a stronger way, in a bigger way. You may be asked to leave what you're doing right now to go into all the world. I was, Al Cresta was, Vanessa Denha Garmo was, all the people that work here in one way or the other were. So that may be something for you, maybe not in broadcasting, but maybe you're discerning a vocation. Maybe you're a single person discerning the religious life. Maybe you're a married man, a married couple who are discerning the man going into the diaconate. Whatever it is, whatever you're doing, we are all called to do what we heard in the gospel today. We are all called to preach north, south, east, and west, because we are, as Danny Gokey said in this beautiful song, we are Jesus people. St. Mark, pray for us. We'll be right back.
Sing it with me now. Jesus people all around the world, stand up. Let it be known, let it be known. Jesus people, if you're changed by His love, let it be known, let it be known. Let's start living like we've been set free. There's a broken world that needs to see. Jesus people all around the world, stand up. Let it be known, let it be known.
So many have tried to put out the fire, but it strengthens our faith. We pray to be bold and unstoppable, to live unashamed.
Yeah. With billions of hearts, lights in the dark.
Good day to talk about this beautiful school in southeastern Michigan, classical Catholic education to be had for those who are interested, and hope there are quite a few of you who have children and may consider sending them to this fine school, St. John Paul II Classical School, located in the Lincoln Park area. And excited to have Principal Melissa Manzak on with us. And also, Father, I understand my producer knows you, Andrew Kruczek, used to be Father at Divine Child, right? Father David Beachel. Good morning. Thanks.
I did not realize. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I do remember him, Divine Child in Dearborn.
Yep, yep. So he's still a member there, and we're happy to have you on, Father, and Melissa. So, Melissa, let me go to you first. I know there's a couple of efforts going on in terms of enrollment and also fundraising. But before we get into that, give us some background on the classical education that you offer at your school.
Yeah, so we're very special school in Downriver. We're one of the only schools, probably within a 30-mile radius in the Downriver community, that offers classical school education. So classical education, it's a beautiful way for our students to learn. We're teaching students to be critical thinkers. They're not just learning rote memorization to go and recite things. They're learning to really think about what they're learning and to have really in-depth conversations about it. You know, Teresa, it's those old time-tested books that we're sharing with our students here. For example, my daughter is in fifth grade, and she's reading Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. She's reading Heidi. My second grader is reading The Little House books by Laura Ingalls Wilder. The good, wholehearted education, great books that we're learning here. You know, the way we used to learn math back when I went to school is how we're teaching it here. There's no 17 million steps. We're not using the Common Core. We're using true time-tested material with that, and it's really creating our students to be such critical thinkers and to go out in the world and to really think about what they're doing instead of just doing it.
You know, Father, I was just talking at the top of the hour, introducing the show, and Father Mitch Pacwa from EW10, who's a brilliant scripture scholar, I'm sure you know who he is. We're going to be, he also has studied history a great deal. We're going to be talking about the developments with all these different protests going on around the colleges. And my question always is, what is it about these young people, and obviously you pray for them, that they so easily accept what the leftist messaging tells them, and for them to be just spouting out and just repeating all these horrible anti-Semitic statements? I think it goes to the core of maybe how they're being educated. I mean, I just wonder if you have any thoughts on that compared to what you're doing at your school.
I don't have any thoughts on that. I have very serious convictions on that, because really it's just a lack of serious thinking. And you know, being a priest through the pandemic, there was the two major questions provoked. The first question is, am I living or am I surviving?
Mm.
And I think the brutal reality is that a lot of us, no, this is a question we can't openly talk about because it's a very serious question. But I think a lot of us, we've just consigned ourselves into, I'm not living, I'm surviving. I'm going to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Because everything in our society for over a century or two has been, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you do, just as long as you're nice. But the next question that was provoked is far more dangerous, I think. We have been confronted with, what do you believe? What do you believe about God, your life? Is it worth living? And I think that a lot of us, you know, we just don't want to face up to that. But the good news is as Catholics, we have a very cohesive belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with a lot of Catholics in the last 2 years. Let's say they were raised in the faith and they left the practice of the faith for whatever reason. They're coming back because they've been around the block, so to say, and they are more convicted in their belief as Catholics. And it's amazing to see... It's almost like a wake-up call, and I'm seeing that in average Catholics, but I'm also seeing that in our school. It's so amazing to be a part of that.
Well, I love to hear about the books that the kids are reading because, again, Melissa, I read those books as well and others, and it's just so important. I mean, I had a really good Catholic education, and we read a lot of the classics, and I think we need to go back to that. But let's talk about what's coming up in terms of raising awareness and hopefully raising some money, and also the enrollment at your school?
Yes. So we have been given a daunting task to increase enrollment to 110 students and to raise $120,000 by May 1st. This was given to us by the Archdiocese, and our time frame on that, Teresa, is May 1st.
And how's it going so far?
It's going very well. I'm proud to say that as of last night, we've had $40,000 in donations come in, and that's just local community members. We haven't even begun to hit big businesses or organizations yet. Currently, our enrollment is up to 81 students, and every day we're having more people deciding to join our St. John Paul II community here. So we are moving in the right direction, and we have faith and hope that we will be able to make this very tight deadline come May 1st and keep our school open.
What is the website, Melissa, if people want to donate and find out more information?
Yes, you can find us at www.jp2catholic.com, and once you go to that website, a pop-up box will come right up, and you'll be able to donate online or enroll your student online. If you are interested in dropping off checks, they need to be made out to Christ the Good Shepherd, and they can be dropped off in the parish school or the office.
Father, what else do you like about being at this school in terms of seeing what's happening with the young people and the type of education they're being given?
One of the most important questions you could ever ask someone or a group of people is, what does that person worship? You know, the first four letters of the word culture is cult. And, you know, one of the things I've been reflecting on in this Easter season, because so many times when we go through Lent, We ask ourselves, what do I need to give up? What do I need to change in my life? And one of the questions I've been asking in this Easter season is, if I didn't have any fear in my heart and in my life, how would my life look differently? And this school has had adversity, but I am just so amazed and proud of my families, the students, the teachers. I mean, this really is amazing. And it's so heartening as a priest.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And Melissa, in terms of this type of classic education, what drew you in terms of education, where you could work? What drew you to the school in the first place?
Well, Trish, you know, this is a great question because I have a very interesting story about how I've come to be where I am. I actually have been in healthcare for 18 years, registered nurse, nurse practitioner. You know, my career kind of took a little bit of a tipsy-turvy during COVID. And last year I sat thinking, what am I going to do? I started substituting at my children's school and was approached, have you ever thought about going back and getting a teaching degree? And, you know, I would pray, Lord, please, you know, I was praying wrong. Lord, please find me a job in healthcare. And really the calling was, I was called to be here and to be a teacher. So I started teaching this year, first grade, and which is fantastic. I was called to this school. I had a couple opportunities, but when I walked and toured the school, you could feel the love of the Lord in the school, and you could feel just the excitement and the joy. And the curriculum was so wonderful. It was, again, back to what we were used to, and it just drew me in. So then fast forward to, you know, about a month or so ago, Father approached me and said, hey, Melissa, will you be interim principal? Our principal was out on leave, and I looked at him and I said, well, you know, Father, if this is my calling, then yes, I accept that calling. And this week we're proud to announce that I am now the permanent principal. So, you know,
aww, congratulations.
Thank you. This truly is a calling and, my vocation. Never would I have thought, you know, 20 years ago when I started nursing school that I would be a principal of a Catholic school, but here I am and I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it being at any other school. We are so blessed to have our Father that we do have and the staff and the children here. It's truly amazing what we have here at St. John Paul. And I will tell you, if you come and walk the halls of our school, you will feel the same way and you will not want to leave either.
Well, Melissa, I have to ask you, when you give your background like that in healthcare, because God never wastes his time, how do you find your background as a nurse helping you in education now?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Teresa. In my background in healthcare, I worked with pediatric populations majority of my time. So working with kids was not something that I just all of a sudden came. That's always been my passion, is to work with children. And as a nurse, you look back, and a nurse practitioner, you say, I educate people all day long. Mm-hmm. Just in a different scheme of how to stay healthy and what they need to do to get into a state of health, and how do you educate parents. And so really those skill sets that I've learned, how to manage, managing my patients in the hospital, have really formed me to be who I am today. That background has made me to be able to be a strong leader and to be able to advocate for my students and to be able to know when I need to ask those questions of maybe, I don't know, or we need to know a little bit more. So when I look back at that, I think, you know, God put me in that role for a reason, because it made me who I am today, to be able to stand here today and sit in this chair as principal and be able to run a Catholic school.
Of course he spent all, you had all that time in that kind of care, because that's what he was preparing you for this. I mean, that's how he works. We think when we're in something, right, that it's all about us and we want to be a nurse or we want to be a broadcaster or we want to be this or that. The other thing, God's like, okay, that's fine for now, but I'm going to use this in another way. But it makes perfect sense with your background in pediatric care that you'd be doing this.
Yes, and thank you. And, you know, it's funny because I resisted for a minute, Teresa. I'm not going to lie. I can remember the day, that night, sitting with my husband, and he looked at me and he said, you have to stop. Stop. This isn't where he wants you to be anymore. You've done your time in healthcare. It's time to move on. He wants you here now. And that was very profound in this decision. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's so funny you say that, because that's a kind of similar conversation I have with Dominic about broadcasting secular media. Because I thought, you know, I was supposed to stay there, and no matter how difficult it got, oh, I can't leave, yada, 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 and didn't know what he was preparing me for, and that was 22 years ago. Crazy, isn't it? So, Father, in terms of the importance, given this day, the Feast of St. Mark, how do you see your role with the school in terms of evangelization and helping to form these young people to go out and be future evangelizers?
You know, being a priest right now at this time in history, the way the world, the church is going, it's a very, you have to wear a lot of different hats.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to second what Melissa said, because God, like, I never saw myself beginning a classical school, just like Melissa never saw herself being a principal. And God calls the people that you need, because at the very beginning of this, I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, I don't know how to start a school, but we have an amazing school board here. Not part of, but a lot of what I do is, you know, being a shepherd of this flock, there's just amazing people with gifts and talents, and being able to plug them into the good work that we're doing here, it's so wonderful. And just sharing our Catholic faith and activating the faith of the parents, the teachers, and the kids.
Awesome. All right, so Melissa, let me have you wrap up. We have about 3 minutes left, and Father, you can jump in too. But
sure.
what would you need in terms of help? What can we do to help with your school in terms of what you're facing right now?
Absolutely. What we need right now, first and foremost, we need prayer. Our school, please, we are asking you to cover our school and our community and our students in prayer. And secondly, if you're able to, we have a goal of $120,000. So we do need some donations. And if you're on the fence of whether or not you are interested in sending your child to a Catholic school, please take that leap and join our school and join our community here at St. John Paul II Classical School in Lincoln Park. So right now, prayer, donations, and the commitment to joining our school and our mission.
Father, I'll give you the last word.
The same thing. We need prayers. Pray the rosary for us. Ask our patron, St. John Paul II, to help us launch out into the deep. And if you can, please go to JP2, that's the number 2, JP2Catholic.com, and a pop-up is going to come, and you can enroll or give. And then we also have a family fun day this Sunday from noon to 2. Come check us out.
Awesome. Father, give me the website one more time, please.
JP2Catholic.com, and it's JP2Catholic.com.
Well, God bless both of you for the great work that you're doing, and please give Allison Accardo a hug for me. We go way back, and as I was saying during the break, she's pretty hard to say no to when she wrote me about the school and getting on the air. So she's a wonderful, wonderful Catholic sister in the Lord. I knew her from, and her parents from my parish of St. Joan of Arc in St. Clair Shores. God bless you both, Father David Beachel, and of course, Melissa Manchek from this wonderful school in Lincoln Park. They need your help and your prayers especially. St. John Paul II Classical Catholic School in southeastern Michigan. And what a great topic for today, the Feast of St. Mark the Evangelist. Pray for us. 8:53 on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Modern philosophers Kierkegaard, Shelley, Sartre proposed the idea that existence precedes essence, by which they meant, in simpler terms, that in the process of time we make or create who and what we are. We understand, of course, that there are those who believe that their doing has been more successful than that of others, and have consequently argued that their being is on a higher state than that of others. This is the kind of thinking that leads to genocide, gas chambers, and abortion clinics. However, folks like Barb and Patrick and Paul and Alicia believe that from the beginning human essence is divinely ordered and infinitely valuable, and where else can we state this more clearly than our defense of preborn children, who cannot prove themselves or justify themselves. They can only be, which is why they are so precious to one named I Am. Go to GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Many have tried to put out the fire, but it strengthens our faith. We pray to be bold and unstoppable, to live unashamed. Yeah. We're billions of hearts, lights in the dark.
Father Mitch Bakwa coming up, along with Dr. Retsi Posey Christie, talking about the developments of pro-life measures in Florida and the fight for life there. Don't forget, we're all called to evangelize. Go out into the world, whatever you can do to make a difference and speak up for Jesus, because we are Jesus people. We'll be right back.